The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, pretty much all Texans. And we will get to the Big 12's non-announcement at some point. So just be patient. Do have some thoughts on that. But this is where we're going to go through all the other games, because haven't had a chance to talk.
At the end of the day, there's an NFL show.
Eh, at the end of the day, I'm not going to spend a hell of a lot of time on something that didn't happen.
Yeah, there was no, I mean, nothing about that announcement is going to make you guys feel good.
And we kind of said all along, this is what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Nothing. So, all right, we start off with the 49ers-Bills, and the Bills are playing much better football after that slow start. 49ers change quarterbacks, doesn't help. More importantly, this game went over and helped get me going again, so I was really excited about that.
Bills
did it by themselves.
Yeah, one of my plays was 49ers plus nine, and they couldn't even do that. It was just a terrible performance by them. I mean, they're that bad. They are really, really horrible. And LeSean McCoy finally had a day and just kind of went off. And you get – listen to this number, Fred. 312 yards – rushing for the Bills. I mean, that's unheard of, and that's why they did what they did. 45-16, blowout win.
Maybe time to start taking them a little seriously.
Maybe so.
Same thing with the Redskins, who I just am not a believer in. And they beat the Eagles 27-20. In reality, that game wasn't that close. If you got a chance to watch it, the Eagles had a punt return and a interception return.
Yep.
Or else they're not in the game. And just couldn't do much on offense against Washington.
That team that's supposed to be the Eagles had been getting by with such great run defense. Matt Jones had his way.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, if they can't, they're not good enough in the secondary to just go without defending the run. Just a really awful performance by the Eagles. And, yeah, the Redskins, I'm not a big buyer either, but that's four wins in a row. And I keep saying that every week. Well, last week it was three in a row. Now it's four in a row.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to start taking them a little seriously. They're at the Lions next week. I mean, that'd be five wins in a row. And really, when you look back at their losses, they lost to the Steelers and the Cowboys.
Not bad.
Not really any shame in that.
No.
So that's a pretty solid team.
Titans beat the Browns 28-26. Hey, Browns covered.
Browns covered. Yeah, that's the positive. you know, the Titans did not look great, but
They're not a good team.
They're
man.
Not good. Marcus Mariota continues to impress me, though. He gets better every week, and I'm actually really starting to like what I see out of that guy, but I still believe Terrell Pryor should be playing quarterback for the Browns. I think he's the one good player on that team. Get the ball in his hands every play and just see what can happen. I don't know. I mean, Cody Kessler wasn't the worst, but you're not winning with that guy. So, to me, you might as well try it. But Browns made it close, but not enough.
Giants beat the Ravens 27-23. Finally, a breakout game if you're someone who drafted Odell Beckham Jr. You feel
more like a breakout fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do much in the first half, especially. I mean, he just had nothing going. But, yeah, went off in the second half. And the problem continues to be for the Ravens. And really, the Ravens looked like they had a game-winning drive and then just fell asleep on defense and let Beckham beat him again. And, you know, the second time, down four. Again, Justin Tucker can't help you when you're down four.
Yeah.
So you got to be down three or less at the end, Ravens. When are you guys going to learn? But the Ravens dropped to 3-3. maybe they're not as good as they looked early on.
Panthers lose again to fall to 1-5.
Awful.
And the Saints win at 41-38 to get to 2-3. Another one, Saints overs at home have just been money. That was pretty easy.
Yeah, the Panthers are just bad. And I don't know where to point the finger exactly. Like, this wasn't an awful...
Defensively, they can't stop anybody now.
Which is crazy. I mean, last year they were the best defense in the league. I mean, was Josh Norman that big of a difference maker? I can't imagine.
I think part of it, too, is their offense controlled the ball a lot more last year than what they're doing this year. But, yeah, that was just pathetic. But, hey, if you're a Saints fan, you're 2-3. You're not completely dead.
You're pretty much dead.
After the 0-3 start.
Yeah, this is just two bad teams, but you're right. They got the 0.
And speaking of Jaguars and Bears, bad teams, Jaguars get the win at Chicago. Brian Hoyer, 302 yards passing. But Jags win it with 17 fourth quarter points.
Yeah, just a bad defensive collapse for the Bears, who really kind of controlled that whole game. It's got to be kind of a bummer for them to lose that game that really felt like they were going to walk out of there with pretty easily. And they're just not good. They're not good on offense. They're not good on defense. That just makes for a not good team.
Lions beat the Rams 31-28. Hey, big game for your guy, Case Keenum, but the Lions get it done, and that's another team that I don't know what to make of yet, but they're 3-3.
Golden Tate, welcome to the party, my man. Golden Tate is suddenly a player. And Matt Stafford, you know, four touchdown passes, no picks. He had a really good game. So I think that's two bad teams that played, but the Lions were the lesser of those two evils. And the Rams now at 500, probably a more accurate depiction of what they really should be, a 500 team.
Steelers go into Miami and lose to the Dolphins. Roethlisberger gets hurt. But, the Steelers, I still think the Steelers are a legitimately good football team. But they sure throw in a lot of turds, and this was one of them. I don't know. If Ben doesn't get hurt, I still think they come back and win the game because I've seen him do that a lot. But
he was playing like crap when he left.
He was playing like crap when he went out. And that interception he threw, I thought he was just limping off the field to get the hell off the field.
Yeah, that was ugly. And really their one success came on an end-around play with Darius Heyward-Bey doing all the work. I mean, it was just an awkward game for the Steelers. And, you know, Dolphins take them when they can get them. And Jay Ajayi had a big game. I can't imagine he'll ever have another one. Of course.
But that was a key for them, being able to run the football like that with him. I mean, 204 yards. And that took the pressure off of Tannehill. Next thing you know, you're winning the football game. Yep. Patriots.
They're still horrible.
Yeah. Don't.
But the worst part about that game is that knocks a little bit off the excitement of Steelers-Patriots next week.
Just a little bit, yeah.
I mean, because that would have been, I think we may have known then who the best team in the AFC is, and now, well.
No, without Big Ben, it's
not a fair match.
It's not going to tell us anything.
I mean, it's just like we saw, if they'd played the first few weeks, we wouldn't know.
Right.
Tom Brady wouldn't have been there.
Speaking of Tom Brady, Patriots beat the Bengals 35-17.
The FU tour continues.
Yeah, and it's funny because I had just texted somebody that, Patriots might be vulnerable today, and then the next thing I know, they put up 15 points.
I had Bengals plus 9, like a dummy, which, you know, for a little while, that felt pretty decent.
Yeah, and they were hanging in there, and I'm like, they might, and then no.
Yeah, they just got away from him in the second half. But
Patriots just curb-stomped him like
Brady
Norton did that dude.
He's so good. I mean, it doesn't matter who they're going against, and this week was the week that he really got Gronk involved, and you know, he's not even really using his wide receivers yet. Of his passing, he had 29 completions. 22 of them were to to running backs and tight ends. Hogan caught one ball, Amendola 2, Edelman 4. That was it for wide receivers. Everything was just quick stuff, but when you have Gronk, he'll make it work after the catch, obviously, and so did Bennett, and so did James White. I mean, everybody played their role, but he's not even opening up yet. Wait till he starts chucking the ball down the field a little bit.
Chiefs beat the Raiders 26-10. I guess I...
One of my few successes of the weekend.
And I almost went ahead and hammered the Chiefs here because I kind of saw this coming with them off the bye week. Andy Reid's terrific off of bye weeks.
Yeah.
And I knew that they would get right. And they were much better than they showed in that game against Pittsburgh. So doesn't really surprise me. I still think the Raiders are a very good team that's still learning. And they got taken to the woodshed a little bit yesterday.
Man, I don't like what the... I didn't like the Raiders' game plan offensively. I thought... And for a game that they were really... They were in it. And in fact, they had a halftime... Or they were right in it at halftime. They were down three at halftime. Their running back, DeAndre Washington, their starting running back, 10 carries. That's... They had 17 as a team, and three of them were Carr scrambles. That's not enough. I mean, you got to keep running the football. And the Chiefs ran 40 times for 183 yards. The Raiders ran 17 times for 65. You know, DeAndre Washington was averaging damn near 5 yards a carry, and they gave it to him 10 times. That's unacceptable.
And I think a little part of that was getting behind as quickly as they did in the third quarter. And Alex Smith. Just the perfect Alex Smith game. Yep. 19 of 22 for 224. No touchdowns, of course, but no interceptions. And, the Chiefs are another one of those teams that I think are right there in that middle mix with the Texans and all those guys for who the good teams are, you know, the second-tier teams are in the AFC.
Marcus Peters, now 13 interceptions since being drafted. That's a year and six games. So that's pretty good. That's a pretty good pace.
Yeah, does his footwork better than Kevin Johnson's?
I don't know. He's not a great locker room guy. He's just a guy that intercepts basically a ball over every other game that he plays. So, but he's not a great locker room guy.
His footwork works better.
I don't know if his footwork is better, but today his foot works better than Kevin Johnson's.
All right. We still have a couple games to get to. We'll do those next segment. But
really, we've got, well, KC was one of the late games. The NFL went back to this, and I'll bitch about it every week until they fix it.
Yeah.
Only three afternoon games.
And that Chiefs-Raiders game ended fast.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the quickest games, and suddenly you're down to two.
I mean, I don't get that. I'll never understand why you want to have nine early games and three afternoon games. Why not break that up?
They don't care. And maybe as the ratings continue to decline, they'll start caring about stuff like that.
They better. Last night's game, the lowest rated game in over 4 years for a Sunday night football game. Almost 5 years?
Does that surprise you?
And that's a rivalry game.
Does that surprise you at all?
A little bit. I mean, we see way worse. I mean, listen, those two teams that we saw last night aren't good teams, but it's not the worst Sunday night game we've seen for sure.
No.
It was a close game. I mean, at least in the end it was.
I think, I would think with Andrew Luck, you'd get some eyes. I think J.J. Watt being out probably
took
a few people, but, you know, casual fans. But I think it's time for them to start examining what the problems are. Because that's not, as matchups go, there should be a lot worse than that one.
No doubt.
And it turned out to be an exciting finish, at least, much as it was awful for most of the game. All right, guys, and maybe you played that game last night, because there's games and there's action. And if you want action, you need mybookie.lv. And I'm telling you what, this is my go-to site now. This is the only site I use. It's an industry-leading website. And guess what? They're going to offer you 100% bonus when you join and deposit today. But you got to jump on it, because that is about to run out. They've given you this amazing opportunity, so... If you want to jump in, got to do it now. Just use promo code FRED, and you will get that 100% bonus. Here's a cool thing. No hassle payouts, no fine print, and you get the greatest customer service in the business. And for those of you who, like me, like to play the horses too, they got a full race book. It's where I put my money on that Woodbine play yesterday. Give them a call, 844-900-BETS, or visit mybookie.lv to open an account. Just use my promo code FRED and claim your 100% bonus before it's gone. What are you waiting for? Time to put your money where your mouth is. That's 844-900-BETS, or go online to mybookie.lv. Start winning today. Ditch your bookie. Time to try my bookie. Mybookie.lv.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Man, I didn't realize how many of these escape places were out there. There's some cool ones. I gotta go check these out. That was fun, man. I gotta tell you. I maybe because I expected it to suck.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it so much.
When did you go?
Yesterday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We went before the Texans game. Because they were going to the game, so we had to get it knocked out first.
Yeah.
So I had to go back and watch the second half. The first half of the Cowboys I had to record, but watch the second half. And let's get to those because we still have a couple games left. Seahawks over the Falcons, 26-24. Matt Ryan goes nuts in the third quarter. Russell Wilson does it in the fourth quarter. And that should have been an interference call on Julio Jones, but I think good game between two really good football teams.
I think the two best teams in the NFC, and I guess Minnesota and Dallas fan might have something to say about that, but watching that game yesterday, those two teams, to me, if one of those two teams isn't in the Super Bowl, I'd be surprised.
Well, I still think it's probably going... I still like the Seahawks the best, mainly because of pedigree, and I still
could see the
Falcons screwing it up. But, the Vikings, I think, are in that conversation, and I think it's about time to put the Cowboys in that conversation.
I just trust the other two teams at quarterback more than I trust the Vikings and the Cowboys.
And that's fair.
Is what it boils down to. Right?
But Prescott did not play all that well yesterday. He had some turnovers, finally. Fumbled the ball.
Doesn't matter when Ezekiel Elliott runs for 160 yards.
And they ran all over him. The defense played well. Aaron Rodgers was... It's one thing when he struggles on the road, but according to that website that Chris Collinsworth always mentions, right, that I won't say the name of, second worst grade of his career. And he was only pressured on 13% of his dropbacks. So,
and he still walked out with almost 300 yards passing.
Yeah, but he wasn't good. That's why you can look and say, oh, wow, he had 300 yards. But if you watch that game, he was not good. And on the surface, his numbers look solid. But, boy, he missed some wide-open receivers. He was off target. And a lot of that was the Cowboys. I like the way the Cowboys are. That's complimentary football.
And I got to give some, you know, since I'm giving credit to the Cowboys, because it is due, defensively, they're way better than I expected them to be, especially in the back end where I've never been I think Morris Claiborne sucks. I think he's so terrible. This year, he's been pretty solid.
Yeah, he has.
Brandon Carr, another guy who's been pretty solid this year, it seems. It's starting to get hard to find holes in this Dallas team. They look pretty damn good. And it surprises me because I didn't think I'd be the guy saying that. But, you know, it is what it is. That's a pretty good team.
And I've come around. I think you got to keep throwing the guy out there until he loses a football game.
Maybe so.
And
I'm also – the Packers are – I mean, they're the Texans. They are a maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they don't team. But I don't think the Packers are a factor in any kind of who's going to be in the Super Bowl. They're not a contender in my mind. That's a even some of the games they've won, namely the Giants game last weekend. I've seen them enough to think they're not very good. And maybe it gets better. But as it stands now, the Packers are just an average football team, which is weird because teams that have Aaron Rodgers should be way better than that.
And, well, Rodgers should be better than that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. He, John thinks it's a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But she's ruining everything for him.
Could be.
Which women will do that.
I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was like a month ago, but everything kind of aligns with Olivia Munn and when they got into that relationship in the offseason. And when he started to plan poorly a year ago, that's when the relationship kind of started. So that's what I'm pointing to.
All right. So that's your recap. John, do we have the audio of what Aaron Rodgers was going to do after that loss?
R-E-L-A-X. What are you doing after a game like that yourself? I mean, what do you go back and do?
Well, have a glass of scotch and chill out a little bit. Watch the film. And, I'm my biggest critic. And, I look at this as... Finally, I look at every other game and improve. It was close. You know, there were a couple, the one to Randall. you know, it would have been nice to hit. And then obviously the fumble there down there kills us. And then miss Richard. But other than that, I felt better. I felt my movement was good tonight. I felt the line blocked really well. Yeah, we got to do a better job of hitting the ones we're used to hitting.
What's his problem? He's drinking too much scotch.
Could be.
Lush?
I'd have that scotch, too.
Yeah, I would, too. It must be. That's why those. It's pretty bad when you got to be drunk enough to watch a film. Yeah. Let's squeeze in a call real quick. Bo, you're on the Blitz.
Hey, now.
Hey, guys. Hey, I should have asked the Texans a question, but whatever. Quick question about the college football and this expansion. Like, with Rutgers, I mean, they just get crushed every week, and people thought that, oh, well, the media market. I mean, what's the point of expanding these media markets if these teams just can't play and get crushed? I mean, is it really more interesting and draw more ratings for, like, Rutgers just because of the New York submarket than, like, a really good, like, smaller school in a big conference? I don't get it.
Well, I'll do my best to explain it to you. The reason Rutgers was so attractive to the Big Ten was the New Jersey, New York media market. It's not just about getting ratings there. It's about getting your Big Ten network into
on
that market.
On televisions, yeah.
And on subscription televisions, you make a ton of money. And that's why somebody had asked earlier, and I just never got around to responding, what are the odds that UH ever gets in a Power 5 conference after getting passed over? And my response would be, it depends on if they keep spending money and doing what they're doing. Now, with this, they may say, maybe we need to pump the brakes a little bit on building
on
everything.
Spending
we
this
can.
Money, yeah.
Yeah, because they're going to have a hard time paying for this.
Because if you're not rewarded in the end, there's not much point to it.
Yeah, and I didn't expect the Big 12 to expand. The Big 12 is such a reactionary league. I expect somebody else to expand first. And when that happens, then they'll do it. But the reality is that group is so dysfunctional, there was no way they were going to come to a consensus. And that being the case, I think you've been saying it too for months, I don't think they're going to expand. And I think if UH keeps spending money and keeps doing what it's doing, then I think opportunities will come. And I still think, and I've said this for 2 years, that it would be a really beneficial thing for the Pac-12 to get in here. And that's where they should be trying to put their eggs in a basket, because if that were to happen, I think, you know, that would be a much better mix, because you're not trying to nail down a market you think you've already got. You're bringing
right.
in a brand
you're
new market.
New. Well, I think that eventually the Pac-12 will get into Texas. I think it'll be with the University of Texas.
No, it won't be till 2025 then.
No.
So,
but I mean, with them at 12 now, they have no reason to expand. You know, and that's the problem is
unless they want to move that network into other markets.
Outside of the Big 12, everybody else seems kind of set. And, you know, and it's the same. The reason why I said the Big 12 won't expand is because there's certain teams that have big pieces of pie and don't want to share that piece of pie. And most conferences, well, when the pie's divvied up 12 ways already, we're not looking at, and these networks aren't as successful as everybody thought they were going to be.
No.
Pac-12 network's not that successful.
Well, and they screwed up with that one because they tried to distribute it themselves rather than partner with ESPN.
So they're not looking to make their piece of pie any smaller. So
What it comes down to is in their judgment, if they can get into this market, does that get them that network make enough money to justify adding another team?
Right, and another two teams more than
well, likely. You'd have to add two, and I don't know who the other reasonable candidate would be.
Well, I know there were a lot of, and apparently part of the reason why the Big 12 chose not to expand is because there was apparently going to be a lot of backlash from the LGBT community if BYU was accepted into the Big 12, because, I mean, for whatever, there it's a church school, which not like Baylor is, you know, pro-gay rights or anything, but they were going to deal with that. So basically when that got taken off the table, Oklahoma's president said, who he was the guy saying, yeah, let's do this, because I guess he wanted BYU in. When BYU came off the table, he was like, well, maybe we don't need to expand. Which tells me at the end of the day, the whole Big 12 expansion was expected to be BYU plus someone else, which I would assume would be Houston based on the other candidates. But if BYU was their that was their primary goal school.
And
to me, they're better off not expanding.
It was for Oklahoma.
I don't know
what that's who wanted it apparently in a big way, but
I gotta tell you, that's not sexy.
No, it's not.
That's not making your and as good as UH has been recently, adding BYU and UH doesn't make you any more of a powerful conference. So it sucks that UH doesn't get in, but it should not come as a surprise because the options out there.
I would have been surprised if they had expanded and UH hadn't gotten in.
I would have too.
That would have surprised me. But again, I think if I'm them, then they need to keep doing what they're doing, keep spending money, keep having success on the field.
That's all you can do.
And then you either raise up the rest of your conference with you, or you will get another opportunity somewhere else. Yeah. And
it might not be for a while.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know what the next one might be, and if there will be a next one. I'm sure there will at some point.
Well, I think when the Big 12 breaks up, there'll be a lot of opportunities.
Maybe, but then again,
but here's the thing: just be Boise. Go out there and make yourself a perennial contender. Every year you're in the mix, and you know some years you'll get into that bowl game, and some years you won't. But hopefully you're getting in more than you're not, and that's when people are going to start to notice you. You're in a way better market than Boise. You got a lot going for you. You got some good facilities now. You got a lot of reason for conferences to look at you. You just got to keep it up.
Yeah, and this, in reality, it's been a pretty good program now for 10 years. It's not, it's, you know, you've got two 13-win seasons. You need to get a couple more of those. But, yeah, that will be appealing to somebody at some point. And I think, like I said, just my hope all along was that the Pac-12 does decide to expand here in the next couple of years. And, you know, if you can find a reasonable partner, that would be. That'd be the big thing, because I just don't know.
Well, the Pac-12 is not taking BYU.
No, so. No, never. And they're going to, whoever they take is going to fit. There's just not a lot of schools that sort of fit the mindset
of the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And that's the other kind of a bummer is, even if they were looking at UH, there's not another school out there that the Pac-12 would say, yeah, we'd really love to be in that market too. Because, I mean, the Pac-12 is not going to go after Memphis or Cincinnati. It doesn't make sense for them.
It would have to be San Diego State or Boise, which is already in their footprint.
They're already in there, yeah.
And that would... I know they were interested in San Diego State at one point.
But there's no need to add if I mean, because they're already in that market. You know what I mean? So adding two... And again, this is where it comes down to. Your footprint's going into a new market, which I don't really... I mean, I get the Pac-12 network anyway. So it's...
Yeah.
I mean, you're technically already in this market, but you'll have more eyes in this market.
Yeah, well, you can also charge more for it.
Right.
Which,
but
you know, that's the big deal.
So now you're adding one new market, and you're splitting the pie between two more teams. And
right.
Is it worth it? And
that's
the answer to them is probably going to be no, at least for the foreseeable future.
Lucas says, don't you think BYU's national following would be extremely helpful to the Big 12? I think that's why they wanted them, but I also think that's a little overstated. If you're just going to use national followings, wouldn't you look at Air Force or Navy before you would look at BYU? Yeah,
I would.
I mean, I know I would. So,
all right, guys. A couple things you got to do this fall. Go to the Texas Renaissance Festival and get your carpets clean before the holidays. I know apparently I'm being pressured to do both of those things, Fred. You can do both with one call right now to Dirt Free Carpet Clean. 281-DIRT-FREE. You'll get three rooms of carpet clean for just $150 and free tickets to the Texas Renaissance Festival. Call Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning, 281-DIRT-FREE, and go chemical-free with Dirt Free Carpet. The other guys are leaving behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. Not Dirt Free. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call Dirt Free Carpet right now. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5, and you'll get three rooms of carpet clean for that $150 and free tickets to the Texas Renaissance Festival while supplies last. Call 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Time for our weekly segment with our good buddy, former Raiders cornerback, former UH Cougar, Stanford Rout. Follow him on Twitter at srout.
Texan Super Bowl believer.
26. Yeah, I gotta see if you're still there.
Don't forget that title.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you see what happened. There's a good chance. Anything's possible.
You watched that game?
I watched the game. I saw the end.
And you still think that's possible?
Who won the game?
The Texans won the game. Who'd they beat?
They beat the Colts, man. They're 4-2 right now. So we gotta give them their credit. They're 4-2 right now.
All right.
Fred?
Crickets.
Yeah, I don't think Fred's going to have your back on this.
Sorry, man. We spent a whole hour talking about it. Here's my beef. I'm not seeing progress out of this team. And I know they won the game, and I'm glad they won the game. That was an element we haven't seen, them coming from behind. But I don't know how much of that was them and how much of that was the Colts choking like dogs. But I still see things that really need to be cleaned up on this team, and I'm not seeing the progress, if that's fair. And I know they're 4-2, and that's great. I'd rather they be 4-2 than 2-4. Because if he can fix these things, I think that bodes well for later in the season. But I'm still seeing too many issues across the board, especially with the offense.
Yeah, definitely. Brock Osweiler, he still struggles early on in games, missing easy throws and sometimes just locking in too much on one guy. Sometimes his pocket awareness is still not where it needs to be an elite quarterback. Lamar Miller, he's definitely a stud. I like watching him play. The defense, you still see some lack of coverage in the secondary without a pass rush whenever they're not getting to the quarterback. So even then, all in all, like I said, they are 4-2. You still see that they've beaten the teams that they're supposed to beat, and the teams that obviously have everything together, good coaching, good players, all of that, the teams that are also winning, it seems like they struggle against them. So it's going to be, I think, a test next week when they play Denver, who's also 4-2, and then we can really get a better glimpse of if the Texans are pretenders or contenders.
I almost just want to see when they go into Denver, I'll take a loss if I see improvement.
Yeah, like a tough loss.
Yeah.
Like a close one.
What I don't want to see is them do the same thing they've done the last two times they've gone on the road, which is just
Patriots
totally bleep
and
the bed. Yeah. One thing that I did notice about the defense, still seem to be missing a lot of tackles. How is that something that coaches can get cleaned up?
Well, tackling is something that's hard to practice because you got top-notch athletes moving at warped speed, so it's very difficult to work on that in practice at actual full speed because most likely you're probably going to get somebody hurt. And so that's one of those things that you just it really just kind of comes down to a lot of times to chance. There's tackles out there on the field that are made that could have easily been a miss. There are tackles out there that were misses and could easily been a made if it may have been against a lesser offensive player. So it's one of those things that you can practice it a little bit. You can work on form tackling, go half speed, but to get the actual full speed rep in practice, you're going to run the chance of getting a lot of people hurt when you do that.
So you've seen enough. Well, you've got a pretty good sample size, 6 games. You still think this team can be playing at Reliance Stadium in February?
Hey, obviously, guys, that's me being optimistic and a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, obviously. I think that if they get some things shored away, shore some things up, I think that they have a possibility to be in the running. Obviously, Denver, New England, they're still the class of the AFC. We get that. But if they can get a few things going their way, maybe the ball go their way on a certain play or two here and there in the playoffs, anything's possible. That's all. That's just me just being optimistic. I know you guys are y'all are the pessimistic ones. Y'all don't want to see them be great, like DJ Khaled says. But
do I want to see them be great? Yeah, I actually would really love to see them be great. They just don't want to show me that.
No, but I think that this team is young. You still got Braxton Miller. You got the Will Fuller. You got Brock. He's in his 5th year, but he's still young when it comes to actual quarterback play. So they have a lot of growing to do, and I think that they will. But if Brock does not get his game to where it needs to be, they were literally a comeback away from this town just completely crucifying him last night. But they won the game, so that kind of bought him another week. And next week, he's going back to his old stomping ground, so he's really got to show up. And if they don't come to play, it's going to look just like it did against Minnesota and New England.
Let me ask you your thoughts. The coaching decision last night that the Colts made, they're inside the 5-yard line, mm-hmm. fourth and one.
I know exactly. The Colts blew
they're
the game.
They're up 4 points.
They blew the game.
If you kick a field goal, you're up 7, mm-hmm. which is, if my math is still correct, that's a touchdown and an extra point. That's yes. a good place to be. Absolutely. Why the hell would you go for it on fourth down after you just failed a QB sneak on third and one? And why would you be in shotgun?
I was just about to say that, like, the fourth and one going for it, I can see why they did.
You don't want to go up a touchdown there?
That type of play on fourth and one, like, come on, you can't be shotgunning on fourth and one. You got to either hand it off to the running back, quarterback sneak. You got to do something. But the Colts clearly blew that game by Andrew Luck throwing that interception to, I don't even know who it was in the fourth quarter on the over route to T.Y. Hilton. And then, like I said, the blown fourth and one, turn it over right there. The Colts clearly blew that game. But like I said, I've always been taught in this league that more games are lost than are actually won. But it doesn't matter because come Monday morning, whatever's in the win column, that's all that matters. They got it. And they can hopefully stay afloat in the AFC South, leading the division. And I think that they're going to definitely have to get everything together because the good teams will continue to do them the way that Minnesota and New England has done them so far this year.
Robert Nelson was the name you were looking for that had the interception.
That's it. Robert Nelson. About that.
What do the Texans do in that secondary now that these injuries are starting to pile up?
You just got to go next guy up.
They're running out of next guys.
I mean, well, you better go sign somebody then because, like I said, you got Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders coming next week, and they are definitely going to be out for blood after losing to the Chargers and the Falcons in a matter of 4 days. And then also you got Kubiak. He's not going to want to lose to his former team. You know that, and I know that.
Or Wade.
Exactly. So it's definitely going to be a great game next week. And like I said, once again, if Brock comes out there and he has a slow start, and the defense is not on point, it's going to be a ugly game once again.
So it's going to be the same thing we saw in Minnesota, basically.
I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying if they don't come to play, offense, defense, and special teams, and Brock does not get his pocket awareness down because Von Miller is coming, Shane Ray is coming, Derek Wolfe is coming, Brandon Marshall is coming, T.J. Ward is coming, and you've lofted that ball up there without any spiral on it, and not it being a crisp pass, Chris Harris, Bradley Roby, Aqib Talib, they're going to have a field day.
I'm starting to look at these injuries piling up, and that's what my biggest concern. And obviously, the Broncos aren't great at quarterback, but they do have some weapons out there. And if Kareem's out for another game, which who knows? I don't know how bad that hamstring is. I thought he was going to be, you know, back this week.
Yeah, so did I.
Now Kevin Johnson's out for the foreseeable future.
He's out for the year. I think he's going.
Oh, is he? Is he done? Yeah,
looks and like it.
Not only that,
you have Joseph back Monday.
Mm-hmm. They lost KJ Dillon now for the season. Yeah. I'm guessing you'll get Quentin Dimps back, but I mean,
I think QD is going to come back.
Your depth is starting to vanish at a position group that had, coming into the season, what appeared to be a ton of depth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now you're out of it. You know, they're going to have to make a roster move or two.
Well, see, the thing that really is going to always plague them for this year is not having JJ. Because for so long, JJ, you got Merciless, Clowney now really coming into his own, which I feel that pressure was always going to be something that allowed the DBs to not have to necessarily blanket their receivers because the ball was always going to be coming out quick. Sometimes it would be errant throws, tipped at the line. So it allows DBs to not have to be on point. But now that you have JJ out for the year, now you're not getting as much pass rush. It's not coming in just huge doses as it once was. So now that falls back on the secondary where they have to cover a little bit longer. They got to be a little bit more precise. They got to be a little bit closer to their receiver. So now the injuries going on in the secondary, actually it's compounded by the loss of JJ earlier in the year.
All right, that's Stanford Route. Joins us every Monday, talks a little NFL with us and sometimes little colleges and sometimes just wherever it goes. But Stanford, good stuff as always, man. Appreciate you dropping by.
Yes, I will see you guys next week.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. And as the seasons change, you want to revitalize your outdoor living area. and you want to do it with the custom style and quality you've come to expect from Allied. Call the pros at Allied Outdoor Solutions to get ready. 713-465-0400. They can renovate your fading pool deck, your grayed out patio, or your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. They can help you with outdoor kitchens, patio covers, and more. But this carved stone gives you a superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on residential and commercial projects. They can help you save some money as well. They offer several monthly payment options, including 0% financing. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery online at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The HD show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring. Located on Luetta, Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 Crown, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by, turn Monday into Fun Day with the HD show. All right, I have a clown update, but I'm going to save it because it deserves more than, you know, because we were kind of a little short on time here because we're a little bit over. So I have another Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Well, this guy might not have been the hero we wanted.
He's the hero we deserved.
I think he's probably the hero these people deserved, but not that they needed.
Oh, okay.
43-year-old Michael Orchard of Half Moon, New York, was very upset that there was a fire. And he had, it was a burning home, and he decided to rescue the dog. Crashed his car through the fence to get in there and rescue the dog. On the surface, that sounds like a pretty heroic thing to do. Unfortunately, the house wasn't on fire and the dog was just fine. He just happened to be on LSD. And he had, consumed quite a bit of it, believed the residence was on fire, and he was rescuing the dog.
Woof, woof.
Neighbors told one of the news agencies that Orchard had even run around trying to warn others about the fire before he rammed his BMW through the fence and made his valiant charge into the non-existent flames. They did say he was a cooperative suspect, but his neighbors say apparently he's been a somewhat destructive force around there before. He was charged with second-degree burglary, third-degree criminal mischief, and jail on a $15,000 bond. So, yeah, mischief. I like that word.
Mischievous.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. If you guys want to get in, we still have college football to get to. And, we've got a clown update, a crazy clown update for you. Peter, is the Houston recruitment quality too strong for any Power 5 conference to give Houston a shot? No, I think it's a benefit to having, I mean, the more you're seen down here, the more you're going to get into those kids. And we see it in the SEC now. The SEC is killing Houston.
Yeah.
And I think adding A&M was a terrific move for the SEC because – they're recruiting a lot of kids out of here now.
Which, I mean, that's the upside is A&M's getting better recruits than they normally would have. They're getting SEC quality recruits. The downside is now LSU and Alabama are getting a bunch of Texas kids that wouldn't have gone to the SEC more than likely anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. LSU's always kind of had...
They've always done well in Houston.
But now you're seeing Ole Miss get kids and Alabama get kids and... schools like that.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Well, a lot of people were already asking, oh, I know Alabama looked impressive, but 17 points, is that too much? And after what I saw Saturday, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm not betting against Alabama.
No, I think.
I mean, I won't bet against A&M in this spot either. But Alabama they're on a different level right now.
Yeah, they are. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, we haven't talked any college football.
We got an hour. We'll do it.
Yeah, guys. Everybody knows the oil and gas industry is still in a downturn. If you've been affected by that and you want an occupation with solid income potential but less volatility, here's what you should be doing. Check out mycomputercareer.edu. IT, one of Houston's high growth sectors. And if you like working or playing with computers, a career in IT could be right for you. It's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. There's companies hiring IT guys all over Houston. But to get the job, you got to have the skills and certification. And the place to go to get those skills, mycomputercareer.edu. My Computer Career is more than just a school. They've got a complete career change program to help you get into the industry by partnering with hundreds of employees that hire their students. Many of those students start their first job in just a few months. You're attending classes only twice a week on campus or live online, so your learning fits into your life. And at My Computer Career, you're in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill and Texas workforce programs. What are you waiting for? Go to mycomputercareer.edu now. Take the free career evaluation today and find out if an IT career is right for you. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5.